So our text is from the Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter, these words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, of all of the events in the life of Jesus about which we read in Holy Scripture, his ride into Jerusalem on what we now call Palm Sunday might be the most difficult to understand, to grasp, to comprehend. No, the event itself is not shrouded in mystery. After raising Lazarus from the dead in nearby Bethany, a small town right outside of Jerusalem, Jesus entered that city on a donkey, and throngs of people gathered there for the Passover went out to greet him. We get that. We understand that. What we don't get, where we get lost, it seems, is in all of the contradictions that Palm Sunday seems to encompass. Yes, contradictions. First of all, first contradiction. Jesus is welcomed as the King of Israel. So our text. Well, at that time, there was no King of Israel. Herod the Great, 70 years before, had been elected by the Roman Senate to be the king of all Judea, their province. But since the death of Herod, shortly before Jesus was born, 3 decades before Palm Sunday, there had been no king of Judea, let alone a king of Israel. Now, there had been ethnarchs, and there had been tetrarchs, and there had even been something called a toparch. Whatever that is. But no king. No king of Israel. Why was Jesus then called the King of Israel if there was no such king? And especially in view of the leaders of the Jews being found a few days later saying to Pilate, "We have no king. No king. But Caesar." Another contradiction. Contradiction of Palm Sunday. The crying out of the people, "Hosanna. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, the word Hosanna comes from a Hebrew word which means save us. That means as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, the people were crying out for rescue. Rescue by the one who came in the name of the Lord. And Jesus apparently was that one. Had he not, after all, raised Lazarus from the dead just days before? By the following Friday, however, those exact same people would be shouting out, "Crucify him." That is, kill that one who raised Lazarus from the dead. And also, let his blood be on us and our children, as the Gospel of Matthew recounts. Another Palm Sunday contradiction. The disciples of Jesus. The disciples who really didn't understand what was going on, as we heard in the first reading, and would not understand until after Jesus himself rose from the dead. On Palm Sunday, those disciples didn't have a problem being seen with Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem, publicly, very publicly associating with him. But of course, by the following Friday, the disciples too would do an about-face, running away, physically, running away from Jesus, fleeing from him, as Jesus was arrested by the temple authorities in the garden. And of course, speaking of Palm Sunday contradictions, there's us today, right now, considering this event that happened so long ago. Taking it all in, it'd be easy to dismiss it as the beginnings of a good tale, this whole Holy Week account. Good story, a tragedy in the best of the Greek tradition, or Shakespeare, or some modern Hollywood offering that actually intrigues. But in reality, the contradictions of Palm Sunday are not simply clever plot devices, but they exemplify, yes, they exemplify, listen up here, the contradictions found within us, in our bifurcated, that is our twofold, our dual nature of old Adam and new man, as we consider our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We think about him. Our old Adam, that complex creature within us, would not mind a king, a worldly king, if somehow the old Adam was to profit from being connected to that king in some way. So our old Adam can say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Jesus, come establish your kingdom here on earth, right here, right now, and let me have a significant role. I'll help you, Jesus, control the masses, the mobs. You can put me in charge. And of course, I wouldn't turn down a wonderful living if you'd give it to me." In contrast, in contradiction even, our new man would welcome King Jesus into our hearts, The long-promised Messiah, the anointed one, the King of Israel, the King of creation, to reign and rule there, that is, in our hearts, directing our lives through times of triumph and tragedy, richness and poverty, strength and weakness, all the while preparing us for an eternity with him in our heavenly home. Of course, our old Adam would praise Jesus and does praise Jesus if there is something in that praise for him right here, right now, but also would gladly join a mob to crucify him if that crucifixion seemed politically expedient to do so, save his own skin, to live on in this world. Our new man, on the other hand, would constantly praise Jesus as the Lord who saves. Hosanna. Who saves. But who saves from sin, who saves from death, who saves from the prince of this world, Satan. And he does this, Jesus does this, by pouring out his blood on the cross, pouring out his blood on us and on our children, in fact, on all mankind. For although we were not there in Jerusalem on the Friday following Palm Sunday, no, we were not part of the mob, nor were we the soldiers that nailed Jesus to the cross. We did, in fact, put him there. Our sins put him there on the cross. And because they did, however, when his blood was shed, it was shed not to curse us forever with the responsibility for his death, but Christ's blood was shed to bless us forever for the responsibility of his death. Think about that. To bless us that we have the forgiveness of sin, which is ours through faith in that death. That death died for us, that death that brings us to life. Our new man understands this. And understands this, that the blood of Jesus Christ poured out on the cross on us and our children for our sins cleanses us from all unrighteousness, brings to us the forgiveness of sins, brings to us life, brings to us peace. And so the new man, he's loath to run away from Jesus. And the new man will stick with Jesus even unto death. But our old Adam has no such aspirations. And that also is the contradiction we find within ourselves. That is, the old Adam who will praise Jesus when it works for him, but would run away from Jesus in a heartbeat of danger. And our new man who, like Thomas in last week's reading, does not have trouble confessing, let us also die with him. So the challenge of Palm Sunday, of the welcoming of King Jesus into Jerusalem and the contradictions that arise one after another, really is not one of understanding the event, but of understanding ourselves, of understanding the conflict within us, even as we today would consider our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even today, even this morning, we wouldn't mind being part of a successful kingdom of Jesus here on earth, but we may struggle with the idea of him reigning, ruling in our hearts. We really enjoy the rejoicing part of Christianity, the hosannas and the hallelujahs, but are challenged by the cross. We do really wish to follow our King Jesus, but hesitate and often falter when our following of Jesus, our faith in Jesus, our faith in the one who comes to us with his life and salvation, would cause conflict in our lives, and it does. Conflict with coworkers, conflict with relatives, conflict with spouses, conflict with children, and yes, conflict with ourselves. Now, the Holy Spirit is sent to us, oddly enough, to help us deal with this conflict. The Holy Spirit is sent to us to still the voice of the old Adam within us and strengthen the new man so that when Palm Sunday-like conflict occurs within us, we can recognize it for what it is, and that is a struggle between our old Adam and new man. No. Christ have such conflict? not between an old Adam and a new man, but between his divine nature and his human nature. So his struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane. But as Christ there continued to do his Father's will, so too are we called to do the same by the Holy Spirit, even as we find ourselves conflicted. Are we on our own, though? Are we by ourselves? Are we left to fend for ourselves as we see the reality of the world around us and grasp the kingdom of King Jesus in our hearts and we see that contradiction? Are we left by ourselves to deal with it? No. So our Old Testament reading, what does it say? It's very simple, very clear. Listen to it again, parts of it. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I haven't been disgraced. I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who's my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Now, don't get me wrong. The point of this text from the prophet Isaiah is not that we're given a license of some sort of a license to be haughty and arrogant and proud when it comes to the world, when it comes to dealing with the conflict of the world, the conflict which is caused within us, but by believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No, the point is that remaining in Christ, remaining in faith, we too will be brought through our trials and troubles as was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We too will see the contradiction caused by our existing in this sin-filled world resolved. We too will, even after suffering and dying, be raised from the dead and ascend into heaven and be glorified forever and ever without end. Until that day, however, we simply live in contradiction. The Apostle Paul, when contemplating that contradiction of the old Adam, the new man, declared, "Wretched man that I am." It's Paul who asks, who will free me from this body of death, this contradiction? And then he answered, there in Romans 7, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how the contradictions of Palm Sunday finally are resolved. It's how the contradiction which is us is finally resolved. It's how all contradiction and all of creation is finally resolved through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.